Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, April 30th, 2024 edition of the Sands and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Last few days we have been seeing sort of a second wave of attacks that appear to target a vulnerability in D-Link NAS devices. There are really sort of two vulnerabilities at play here. The more severe one is a simple authentication bypass. These devices use a user message bus without password. So a user, an attacker, can just simply authenticate with user equals message bus, leaving the password empty. The original proof of concept for this vulnerability was released about a month ago by a GitHub user who goes by the name of Network Security Fish, and it used a specific CGI to actually then execute arbitrary commands, and that's nas_sharing.cgi. And that's sort of a little bit the second vulnerability here, that in order to then execute arbitrary commands using this easy to access user, you need to have a URL like nas_sharing that allows you to actually just send commands to the device. Shortly after the vulnerability was announced, we did see sort of a wave of attacks that basically just exactly used the proof of concept exploit. What we started seeing then mid-month and in the last few days, it really has sort of spiking is the use of another CGI script, Oros PUCOC.CGI, no real idea how to pronounce it. Appears to be possibly a Turkish word, but it's nothing that I sort of really found documented anywhere. The URL parameters that are being used look exactly the same as we see used against nas_sharing. However, it's possible that this other script actually is more something like a later introduced backdoor, maybe using the first vulnerability, and is now taking advantage of that same authentication bypass in order to execute code. If anybody has any more details, maybe you own one of these affected D-Link NAS devices, let me know if the second URL actually exists on devices or is something that may have been introduced later. The commands we do see executed are simple, like uname and echo commands in order to just check if a specific device is vulnerable. And sadly, if you do own an affected device, there's a good chance that there won't be a patch available because the affected devices are end of life, and D-Link basically suggests as part of its advisory regarding this vulnerability to just replace the devices. An Infoblox published a blog post with some interesting DNS abuse that they have been observing for a few years now that appears to be originated by the Great Chinese Firewall. This behavior reminds me a little bit of something that sometimes has been referred to as the Red Iron Cannon, where the Great Chinese Firewall is not just blocking requests or responses, but also actively altering the content of responses. In this particular case, it appears to be the recursive resolution of MX records, so mail server records. Now, usually some of this activity has focused on A records, so IPv4 addresses, and many years ago we have observed that, for example, against the Net Storm Center website, where Pirate Bay all of a sudden resolved to our IP address inside China. This is different activity. It affects queries coming from outside China into China, passing the Great Firewall, and then the responses going back are apparently being altered. The exact purpose isn't quite clear yet. It could just be a denial of service attack, like that's sort of what we observed back in the day with A records. Could also, of course, be some kind of attempt to do a machine-in-the-middle attack by returning these invalid IP addresses. Interesting blog post by Infoblox here with more details in the show notes. And I remember a couple weeks ago, I had one of our SansoDDU students, Daniel Marcella, talk about some of the risks in automotive head units. And one of the things that Daniel pointed out is that if you are using the automotive head unit in order to link it to your Google account, then, well, data can be synced to the automotive head unit, and any malware introduced could then have access to any data that is associated with your Google account, like, for example, Gmail. Well, this particular issue is not unique to automotive head units. Android, the operating system, of course, shows up in many different places, like, for example, Android TV. And Cameron Cray, a YouTuber, now did document this problem specifically with Android TV. If you're logging into your Google account with your Android TV, shouldn't really be a big surprise. Well, the Android TV does have access to your Google account. Apparently, Google is now working on a fix for this issue. There is an article by 404 Media. Sadly, it appears to be behind a paywall that has some statements according to this fix. But up to now, it has sort of widely ignored this problem. Well, and that's it for today. Remember, we do have Sans Fire coming up in July. I'll be teaching the Defending Web Application class. We have a couple of special events planned just for people who are attending in person. If you're interested, check below the show notes. I usually have links to future classes I'm teaching, and I believe the Sans Fire class is already showing up there. Thanks for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.